cliffcentral.com. A warm welcome to Leadership Transformation Platform, transforming towards an empowered society. And it's wonderful to be with you. I'm Adrian Groenewald. And with me, of course, Louis Groenewald, the old man, as always. He brings some wisdom to the party. Welcome, Louis.
Looking forward to today.
It's wonderful to be with you. We've got a great leader in the studio. Just a reminder, leadershipplatform.com for all things leadership. Go to www.leadershipplatform.com, two P's in the middle, one word. And we kick off our leadership masterclass with a master lesson. And with me in the studio, with us, in fact, it's not in the studio, we're at his office at Harmony Gold in Randfontein. We asked Peter Steenkamp, the CEO of Harmony Gold, to share his views on what constitutes authentic leadership. So we've got him with us. And welcome, Peter.
Thank you, Adrian. Thanks for the invite.
It's really good to have you with us. And we look forward to hearing your views on authentic leadership. He's got at least 8 points that to him describes an authentic leader or authentic leadership. So we're going to unpack that and have a conversation as a panel. All right. Let's start with our first thought, Peter. You say authentic leadership is creating a vision. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, Adrian, it's always the responsibility of the leader to create a vision, to create a strategy. And importantly is what type of strategy do you get, you actually create for the company. You have to have a compelling argument as far as what you want to take the company with. Because importantly for you, the strategy must have a buy-in of all. Must have the buy-in of your shareholders, must have the buy-in of the community and the government and the communities you operate in, must have the buy-in of the employees. You can't have a strategy and then your employees will read in the papers that this is not a very good strategy by the analysts or something like that. So you need to engage very, very far and wide and understand where you want to go, and then also pay a lot of attention of selling that strategy to everybody, making sure that this strategy is actually something that people buy into and that they all subscribe to. So it's important that the strategy is, you know, as a first step in terms of the vision, what the, where the company want to go to, is something that is the responsibility of the leader.
So do you believe in the, I'm going to call it an emotive vision? In other words, one that really appeals to the emotion, let's kill forward, or let's, you know, there's some really good examples of visions in the textbooks, shall we say, that really inspire, just the vision itself inspired the people. Or some visions seem very boring.
Yeah, I think, you know, for us in gold mining, it's extremely volatile environment that we operate in. And every company has got its own platform that it works from. You know, if you look at a company, particularly like ourselves, you probably will find that our vision will be to actually grow and actually create a better assets and asset base that can actually create, that we actually can sustain some volatility and those type of things. So, you know, every company's got its own unique, circumstances that will create this vision. But I think the important thing for everybody, they want to be part of a success story. They want to be part of something that grow. A sport team will let's beat everybody else. You know, and not necessarily in a gold mining company. The thing is important for us to be able to sustain and grow and actually create more value in terms of going forward for our shareholders and also for the employees.
Okay, Louis, you want to comment?
Now, previous conversation before our session now, you mentioned the danger, though, of a vision outstripping the organization. In other words, that the leader loses the focus on realities around him.
Yeah, I think it must be focused on your realities in terms of the company you want to create. Sometimes people get carried away in terms of being able to focus on stuff that is probably irrelevant for your current circumstances. And to always get back to in terms of what are the fundamentals in an environment that you operate in, making sure those things are right.
Okay. Thank you, Peter. Our next thought, the second one, that for you describe an authentic leader is authentic leadership is about creating trust. It's about creating trust. And gosh, not any leader can do that these days. There's so many things that can break down trust. And it's much easier to break down trust, as we know, than to build it. You can build trust over 10 years, do one wrong thing, and suddenly the market doesn't trust you, your people don't trust you. So your thoughts on this all-important principle?
Well, to me, you're creating trust, first of all, being trustworthy. I mean, you have to really work hard on that your yes is your yes, and your no, that people understand where you are. I think it's important that you have values, and a company actually is deprived of values, that the values are very visible, people see the values. It's important to be predictable, People will know what the result will be. Unpredictability creates a lot of, animosity about people, and so predictability is good. Always focusing on what is the right thing to do. Because you have to focus on, you always know what is right. Intuitively, you know what is the right thing to do, and let's do the right thing. And then stick to your principles. Now, it's all easy to say how you're going to get that right, but I mean, you have to create that environment that you are sticking to this thing. So the first question you have to ask yourselves when you get confronted with a situation, what are the principles, what are the things that we have to do, and what is the honest opinion, what's the right thing to do, and actually stick to those principles. Because there are many pressures in the environment that we operate in that people will actually try to get you away from your values, get away from your principles, to get the thing going. And sometimes you just have to just stick to your things in terms of where you go. And then extremely importantly, I think for me, is that we always have to play the ball, not the man. By that you create trust. There's a situation that we have. It's not the fault of a specific individual normally. It's circumstances get it there. Let's go and fix and focus on the situation, see how we can fix the situation, and not necessarily play the man. Mm. So it's extremely important that you get that right.
All right, our next thought that you use to describe authentic leadership is that it's about creating a sense of belonging. I'm interested in this one because I think it's an ordinary or general human need to belong to a family, to a club, to a work environment, to friendship circle. So it's a very interesting one that I know Louis Groenewald feels very strongly about. Your thoughts on this one?
Well, people want to be associated with winning teams. They want to be part of winning teams. It's nothing as great. I used to play rugby in my young days and also be involved in rugby a lot. That's after a winning game to be in either the club house afterwards or in the change house. It is unbelievable good feeling about that. So they want to have that sense of belonging. So being an achiever is good. But I think the first thing in terms of creating a team, the sense of belonging is really to give a lot of recognition. We're achieving things because of a team, the team effort, not necessarily of individual efforts. So give the recognition to the right levels, either teams or individuals, to making sure there's a lot of recognition there. And get the people to become part of your brand. You have to build a specific brand, a specific things people want to be there. Build that brand and actually, get people excited about the brand.
Peter, when you speak of giving credit to people, you're not speaking of flattery.
No, giving credit, everybody is what? Many times, when it's a successful team, then the leadership get the credit of that. Get that credit also to the unions, get that credit also to the normal worker in the face. Those are the people that actually create that option for you, or that success. It's not only the leaders, it's not only the fly-off in a rugby match type of scenario that are the guys. It's the forwards that actually bring him the ball. So that is what you have to get to. Make the recognition wide, make everybody feel special as part of that brand. And I think it's importantly for me I've seen when we started African Rainbow Minerals in my life, how the people, everybody, and it was a very volatile part of the society just after the first elections and things like that, how everybody in that company actually felt to be part of that company. And the sense of belonging that was created there by Andre Wilkins, Patrice Motsepe, those guys, it's just unbelievable in terms of what we achieved there. And I could see how that could move a company. Luckily I was part of that team and I really enjoyed it a lot.
Okay, so we've got authentic leadership for Peter Steenkamp is creating a vision, firstly. Secondly, authentic leadership is about creating trust. And the third one we discussed was it's about creating a sense of belonging. Your fourth principle that you're sharing with us today in terms of authentic leadership is surrounding yourself with champions. Tell us more about that one, because I've got a thought or two there, especially when you inherit a business.
Yeah. You have to, I'm a very strong believer that you have to handpick your team. You must make them one of the family. You have to be loyal to them. You must create a bond with the individual. I also do believe that, and my phrase is always, you don't go to a gunfight with a knife. So you get the right people in the position. So you find the right person, the people that can deliver what you want to deliver. You make him part of your team. You make him part of your create a loyalty between yourself and a specific guy. Having said that, I mean, I also believe that you have to be honest with these people. Everybody's got shortcomings, and one have to can't be loyalty towards, you know, beyond, you know, if there's something that is wrong, you need to be honest, and honest feedback need to be given to the individual. They normally actually love it, but with that undertone of being loyal. I mean, like a father and son relationship. I mean, the father will criticize, but you always believe that your father still loves you and is still doing it for your best interest. And then always be willing to assist. I mean, you can't just leave it up to a specific individual to go and do that, but assist him in making sure that the issue is not only his, it's ours. And we have to resolve that. Obviously, mentoring, coaching, those kind of roles are extremely important in terms of making champions. I mean, you have to find people that have the right mentors, have the right coaching skills. Making coaching skills very deep in your organization is extremely important. You know, having the right level of coaches, you know, down to the lower levels of the supervisors, etc., is extremely important to make the company successful. And then, you know, people have to walk the extra mile for one another. And you have to show that willingness to walk the extra mile for your subordinates or people that get to you. And then very importantly about all of this, of making, you know, is you have to retain your champions. You can't let them go to other companies. Your champions need to stay with you. They must go with you. They must always stay with you, and you always keep them in your mind. And whenever you go, and for instance, you go to a new company or to a new organization, keep them close to you. Your champions, because one day you're going to need them again.
But it's tough when you take over a business as a CEO like you have now with Harmony, or any other business for that matter, and you find that, or you may feel, I'm not surrounded by champions. I guess sometimes it just needs a good leader to bring the champion out of you. In other cases, there's a culture where people don't believe that they are winners or champions for as a synonym.
No, that's true, Adrian, and I think, you know, you have to make the tough choices. When you have people that you don't believe that you cannot get over the line to become a champion, you have to make the tough choices. Fortunately for me and Harmony, most of the colleagues I'm working with at the moment used to work with me in the past, so I know them very well. I know that they are champions, and I would not change it for anybody else in the world. So, but you have to make that choice in life. I mean, you have to take the right person and that you want to create, the culture you want to create, and get the right person to come and assist and help you with that. You don't have the choice. As a leader, you have to make that tough choices.
Yeah, so one of the definitely principles of being a great leader, or authentic leader, is when a tough decision must be made, you make it. You're not authentic if you don't make the tough decision for the wrong reasons.
Arden, can I just mention that we mustn't consider these points raised by Peter to stand on their own alone. The other points already mentioned by him, for instance, creating a vision, creating trust and a sense of belonging, are vitally part of creating a spirit of champion. Because you can't just say someone's a champion, you've got to grow him, you've got to mentor him, etc. So all the other points come together in one great whole of good leadership.
That's a good point. You know, if there's a lack of trust between the CEO and his all-reserve executive, then that guy is not going to function like a champion.
Absolutely. I fully agree with that. I mean, none of the 8 points that we're going to discuss, one is more important than the other. I think for me, they're all extremely important.
The challenge sometimes, Peter, if I can speak to the more junior leader, there's the perception that if I'm the CEO, I actually can handpick my team. I've got more freedom to do so. If I'm a general manager at a shaft, or if I'm a mine overseer, it becomes limited in terms of the ability to get rid of someone and replace them with a champion.
Yeah, I think, you know, surround yourself with champions not necessarily means that you have to get rid of people. I mean, if you think about successful sport teams, for instance, getting back to the analogy of sport, there are many successful sport teams today that in actual fact have thrown away players from other provinces that now become the top team in South Africa. It is about being able to let the person operate like a champion, and it's all about actually getting the person that you had believed that should be going is the right person in the job. Again, I say, if you do find a person, like for instance, if you are a wing on a rugby field and you run like me, you know, the 100 meters in 15 seconds, you're not going to be a good wing. I mean, you're going to find the ball and it's not going to happen. So you need a guy that run it at 10 seconds. So that is the kind of things that you have to find out. So you have to get the right person in the right position. If you don't have them there, you have to, you as leader must make that decision to move the people that you've got.
The next principle that you share around authentic leadership is about doing or being a good listener. Being a good listener. Expand on that one.
Arjan, that is the one that probably most managers fail or leaders fail, because being a good listener is tough. You always jump to conclusions. You always get to the point far behind the things. The first thing is you must value the opinion of your employees. It must really be valuable to you as a person.
Not an act. It really is.
Yeah, you must value that. The second thing is, and in our environment, unfortunately, many times we are not confronted with the real issues. Many times there's an issue behind the issue. Find time, make time to, in actual fact, understand what are the real issues. Even if it takes you longer to get to a solution, but find the time to get to the real issues. Engage. You have to engage with people. You have to create the time and opportunities to talk to people. That they can voice their opinions, they can voice their thinking about that. And sometimes it's difficult to get, especially when you're CEO of the company, to get into an environment that you can actually talk to, for instance, a shift boss on the mine. So how are you going to create the environment that you actually, in fact, can speak to this person? Many years ago, you used to have safety parties. It was always a joke. Then you just give a guy a few beers, and they will tell you everything you want to know. But those are not there anymore. I mean, those opportunities are not there anymore. So you have to create an opportunity to speak to people further down the levels, and that can be anything like a breakfast with some people, or a meeting with some people, and just having things. But speak to everybody. Speak to your unions, speak to all your stakeholders, but also speak to your people down the organization. Typically, that is very difficult to do. But it is certainly, in an organization like ourselves, it can be done. In more smaller organization, like I came from a coal industry now, it was much easier to do that, to create that environment to do it. Gold industry, having 28,000 people reporting in the organization, to get really the views of lots of people is fine. So you have to rely maybe on some sort of feedback system. But try and find personally a time to go and listen to people. But when you get into meetings and things like that, importantly, let the real issues get to the fore and don't jump to conclusions quite easily.
So authentic leadership is about being a good listener. Louis, we have some leaders that have been on the show that kind of confirmed this.
It's a vital point, but I think we should understand that being a good listener is extremely difficult for a strong leader, because he's positive, he wants to get things done, he's not afraid, and he's not afraid to shake the tree. So speaking of a kind of listening, which is a part of emotional maturity, Peter, so you're saying, in spite of the fact that you may know the answers you think beforehand, because you've been there, you listen for other reasons, to build trust and to listen, and often to change your opinion as well. So it takes a stronger person to learn to listen. I think it's a very important point you mentioned, Peter.
Louis, you're so right. And like I said again, I mean, the biggest problem for me as a person sometimes is to jump to a conclusion. I know what the answer is. If I start speaking, I know what to say.
You're not afraid, you see.
And the thing is to actually hold back and actually listen him out and give him an opportunity to finish his story and finish his point so that you can listen him out. And a very difficult thing to do.
I think when all is said and done, after doing many interviews with leaders and writing about it and spending years and years, it has to be one of the top three most difficult and most important leadership principles is to become a good listener. Why it's so difficult for us as human beings, we listen to reply, not listen to understand. It's Stephen Covey wrote so eloquently in his book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. It is just the most difficult thing, especially when you're already successful. You're the boss, you're the leader. You're in charge. You've done this many years. You've done it many times over and over. You've given the answer to that question many times before. Gosh, and to now sit quietly and listen so that person can feel heard and then respond, it takes incredible emotional maturity.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it is. Then that's 100% correct. I mean, the fact of that is that this And like I said, you know, that is very difficult to do from time to time. And the time pressures you normally at the meetings and those kind of things, you said, we don't have time to listen this thing out. Let's get to the conclusions. Let's get to the final things that we want to do. But you have to, there's obviously a balance in all of that. It can't be, you know, things drag on forever. I mean, it's, you know, it's firm. But you have to give the right person the opportunity to talk. But importantly, get to the real issues, because that is important for me.
And then listen there.
Yeah.
You see.
Yeah, and in the end, I guess if you're a real authentic leader, even when you make mistakes and you apologize in a public forum or one-on-one, it just changes the whole ball game again. People trust you. Your motives are authentic, and they know you're human. And just have the humility and the strength to say sorry. The next principle of authentic leadership for Peter Steenkamp with us today in the studio is about building relationships. And again, all the other points play to this one, but building relationships rather than building goals necessarily, or building a business, or there's lots of things you're building as a leader, but building relationships.
Yeah, I don't, for me it's quite important, because in my life I've seen it quite a few times when things go getting tough that relationships actually pull you through. And you have to build relationships. You can't build a relationship in a war. When you're at war with an enemy, then you try and build a relationship with that person. Build relationships before time. Find time to build relationships with, you know, your unions. Find time to build relationships with your communities and government and all the other kind of things. Because when the issues are on the table, that you've got a relationship with a person to resolve it. Also build a relationship with your people, that they trust you. That you, when, not only in times where you have, you know, issues on the tables and stuff like that. So in my life, I've seen it so many times that you, with relationships, with having the right relationship with the right type of people, making sure that this is an important stakeholder, I must have a relationship. Being in a partner or whatever you have in terms of your business partners, etc., building a relationship with them is extremely important. And again, I say, you know, many times we only start talking to one another when we're in the war. And then you find it very difficult to build that relationship, because now you on you know, you have certain debt or turfs that you are protecting and stuff like that. So try and get it before time, so that you can have this ability to be able to talk to anybody at any time.
Remember, Adrian, we found in the mining industry a lot that some of the top people have this antagonistic attitude towards unions, so they don't invest in spending time in building relationship. And now we find those who do spend time, when you need it, then suddenly you've got a strong foundation to work on.
And if you think about, you know, the mining industry as a whole, I mean, when Bobby Godsell really got into mining through Anglo Gold Ashanti at the time, I mean, he kind of had a very good relationship with James Matlatsi of NUM, and he could diffuse a lot of potential issues during the time. And you think about that, there's probably one of the areas where the most industrial peace that we had in the gold mining industry was during that period in time, where we always call them in the industry the two wise old men actually got together and talked to one another. I've got a very good example also of a guy like Andre Wilkinson, which is an extremely good relationship builder with anybody in organization, being government, being it in things. And Andre, through relationships, been able to diffuse many, many tough situations that was out there, where people were sticking to their turfs, and we found a way out of that and getting to a point where they say. So ability to build relationships are extremely important, and it comes with time. You have to invest time in that. It's not coming, you know, just on the way, I just have a quick chat to somebody. It's time, and when you, it's odds are down to have specific talks, and also talk about strategy, talk where you want to go, understanding the, you know, the people that you're dealing with.
I remember having a conversation with Heineken Meyer when he was pretty much at the peak of his coaching career, and being very interested in these pep talks in between the first and the second half, you know, in the locker room, when the team's doing really bad. What do you say? How do you do it? You know, they're like the movies. Yeah. It's so easy. You give them a nice motivational talk, they walk out, and it's like a different team. And his comment back was, Adrian, it starts way before the locker room. Mm. So when we're in that halftime, and the guys are not performing, and I know what makes Peter Steenkamp tick, and I know what makes Adrian Groenewald tick, then I press those buttons, because I know them really well. I know their goals. I know their ambitions. Mm. And I try and zoom in on those to say, listen, you want this to happen. And because of that trust, because of that relationship with that specific player, you can then hopefully press the right buttons when it's needed during halftime. Mm. So it kind of speaks to what you're saying. All right, our second last principle around authentic leadership is creating a focus on quality and excellence. Peter Steenkamp, tell us more about that one.
Well, again, I think, you know, everybody want to be proud in terms of where they're working, how they're doing things, how we're performing. You know, one of the biggest things that has been a trademark in my life, always been that I'm striving, and it's also one of my five safety focus areas, is, you know, is really like good housekeeping. Having pride in terms of where you are, what you're doing, and then also focusing on excellence. I mean, what is excellence? Define excellence. I mean, let's get a definition of what excellence is amongst ourselves.
In different environments.
In different environments. And so when we do go to a team and say, but, you know, what will be excellent for you? What will be the ultimate performance level that you can possibly find for that particular team? And it's amazing how people would try and aspire to actually to beat that excellence level. Again, you know, you know, typically if you go a sport team, like for instance, a Super Rugby starting now one of these days, I mean, you can just be a player or a team in a Super Rugby, or you can try and win it. Excellent teams try and win it, and they find ways and things to get it. They put that goals out there. Importantly, that you always praise, and you are also encourage good excellence performance. So you have to take time to find excellent performance and actually give recognition to that, because that creates a culture of excellence in the organization. And then also understand who the people are that's actually going to deliver that excellent performance for you. You know, there are people that are the tastemakers for excellence, and you have to find who those people are, making sure they are there. You know, personally, I've always been very strong on standards, what is acceptable, what is not acceptable. It's important that everybody in the organization actually understands that. So, but the culture of excellence, of performance, of top performance, I mean, it's something that, you know, it comes from the head of the leadership of the company in terms of where you want to be. And, that, you know, then that must have things how you take it forward.
Louis, the leader sets the standard always, isn't it? It's the standard of excellence and what you really believe you can achieve.
Yeah, no matter what we say in terms of theory, the leader does set the tone. Mm. It's very important.
Yeah.
Peter Steenkamp, then another point describing authentic leadership for you is about not losing sight of the business principles. It sounds very logical and simple, this one, but there's wisdom behind it.
Yeah, to me, that's, you know, all the other things are very, you know, it's all about creating a culture, it's all about the soft stuff. But don't forget the hard stuff. I mean, it's important to have a good balance sheet. It's important to have discipline and costs. It's important to deliver on what you say you're going to deliver on, you know, getting to your targets. To have the correct assets in the business. To close with assets that cannot make money. I mean, these are business principles that have to be part of your business. You can't build a successful business and just on all the cultural things. It's also the tough stuff that you have to get. Keep on focus on terms of what is the fundamentals that make your business strong. You know, in our business, it's all about creating face lengths, creating right in the right grade, being in the right, you know, having the right assets. Don't lose track of that. We can't make a real bad asset something good in a poor gold price environment. So you have to be able to get yourself. So business principles are extremely important. The business fundamentals are extremely important. So, you know, we still have a business to run. At the end of the day, we still have to pay salaries and to create the company and grow the company. So it's important that we keep on focusing on that.
Peter Steenkamp, CEO of Harmony Gold, sharing some wisdom with us around authentic leadership. That was an excellent master lesson, Peter. We're going to take a quick break and we come back and we're engaging him a little bit more about his career, maybe personal leadership, but certainly the challenges in the gold industry, in the current business. We're going to talk more practical. Stay with us. Cliffcentral.com.